Well, it's been several weeks ago that I kind of skipped over a verse, and I told you all that I would come back to it. I think it may have been more than a few weeks ago, because you probably don't even remember that. It was back in chapter 3 of 1 John, and I'm in chapter 5, and I go slow, so it's been a while. But today's the day. We're coming back to it. I wish I would have remembered last week to say, come back today, because I'm actually going to hit that verse. I'm returning to a verse that I kind of skipped over, and it goes along with our section of scripture that we have for today. And today I will be discussing our requests of God and answers to prayer. So if you would, turn with me, or maybe more appropriately, turn back with me to 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 21. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. What does this scripture say? Or maybe I should say this. What do you think this scripture says? For much of my life, I would say I've been a black and white kind of person. And I also like to compartmentalize things. That is, everything has to be in nice, tidy boxes. And I know that there are others like me, and I don't need to explain what this means. But for others of you, you may not quite understand. So I need to explain, and I'll try to show you what I mean. And I'll show you how this would apply to these two verses. When I read these verses, I can easily see a math equation. That's kind of the black and white side of my thinking. You know, math, 2 plus 2 equals 4, 1 plus 1 equals 2, easy math, right? So when I see this verse, I see a math equation. Honestly, I see the simple and easy math equation: confidence plus obedience equals getting what I ask for. Now I changed the verse, but you can read it again and see if you see it there. This is simply an observation. When I read this verse, this is what to me kind of sticks out. And please hear me out. Many of you might say, hey, I object to this. And that's okay. Let me finish. And hopefully we'll all be on the same page. But if all I knew and all I had was these two verses, I can easily come to that conclusion that confidence plus obedience equals getting what I want. And I put it in a nice, tidy compartment. I put it in my nice box here. And this box is in my spiritual life. And I'll even label the box. How to get answers to prayer. This is my get answers to prayer box. And if I wasn't in a hurry, you could probably read this too. I even wrote the equation right here. You see, with this box, I now have God figured out. I have them figured out when it comes to prayer requests. I have the equation for positive results, and it's right here in this box, and I should even write a book on it and go on television and share with everyone I've figured out the mystery of God. I know how to get what I want. Wait, there's already people preaching that on television. But is that how things work? Is this the equation? Is this the answer to what many people have been seeking? Well, let's kind of see how this plays out. I'm living life. And uh-oh. I run into a problem. And I need the Lord's help. So I pull out my trusty box here out of my spiritual life and I say, okay, God, I've got a problem. So I look at the equation again and I think, okay, confidence plus obedience equals getting what I want. Okay, I got this figured out. So I tell God, I know that He's going to answer this prayer. I put in the confidence. I put in my confidence. Then I put in my obedience. Okay, God, I know I've slacked on a few sins here, but I know it's now business. So everything's business. There's no slacking anymore. So I've got my obedience now. So I put the obedience in my box, and it's like, okay, now I'm waiting for my answer to be dispensed. I'm waiting for God to answer my prayer. Okay, come on, God, it's been 30 seconds. Okay, give me my miracle now. Nothing's happening. Okay, I've got the equation here. Maybe this is like a recipe. Maybe I have the right ingredients, but I don't have the right proportions or the right ratio. Maybe that's what I need to figure out. Maybe I need more confidence. I need some more positive thinking. I'm gonna even go around telling all my friends, God's gonna answer my prayer. I know it. I struggle and I push out any self-doubt. I put in my confidence. I put in extra. Okay, I need a lot more obedience. Okay, so let's figure this out. Okay, I'm gonna add Bible reading to this now. This is getting really serious. So I'm gonna put in a few extra minutes of just Bible reading. You know what? I'm gonna actually tithe this month. Actually, I'm gonna put 10.5% in. I'm going to start praying before meals. There's no more skipping church, even if it's snowing out. That's how much obedience I'm putting into this. I mean, I know I maxed out my credit card and I can't pay my bills, but God, you got to answer my prayer by giving me the winning $1 billion lottery ticket. Or maybe it's, I know I stayed up all night playing video games and spent zero time studying for that test that I just failed, but God, you've got to help me pass this class. I'm putting in my confidence. I'm putting in my obedience. Or maybe I know I broke the law and ended up in jail, but I'm turning to you now, God. I'm putting in obedience and I'm putting in confidence. So, God, you've got to get me out of jail. Still no answer. What happens next when we don't get an answer? Do we blame God? Do we question whether the scripture that I read earlier is true? Things aren't going the way I think they should. For some people, that's where they turn and say, God doesn't care, and they walk away. Well, let's say in my case, I'm a little more mature in my thinking, and I begin wondering, okay, why didn't those prayer requests get met? And as I begin thinking, I see the examples that I gave. They were pretty selfish prayer requests. They're kind of selfish. And the issues I was dealing with were because of consequences to poor decisions that I made. Okay, maybe this equation doesn't work for just me. Maybe God isn't going to give me the $1 billion lottery ticket. So does this work for unselfish requests? How about a family member just got diagnosed with cancer? Or a friend was involved in a vehicle crash? Or someone else really needs an intervention by God? Is this when it works? I put in the confidence and I put in the obedience. I'd venture to guess that many of us, whether we knew it or not, have probably fallen into this kind of prayer. We begin questioning if we have enough faith. Maybe that's why we're not getting the answer. Maybe we don't have that confidence. Maybe we need to try harder. Looking at spiritual disciplines, increasing in obedience in some way, trying to get God to do what we are asking Him to do. Because in our human mind, we want to say, we understand the equation that if we are faithful believers and we're doing what we know God wants us to do, that He'll give us what we want. You see, we want to see a simple math equation. We want to see simplicity. We want something easy to understand. But many of you already know this isn't how God works. Though we have some understanding of God, there is much that we do not understand. Some of you may be trying to figure this out still yet. But the most difficult thing that we must wrestle with is God's sovereignty. You see, many of other religions over the history of the earth work in a manner like this, like incantations, spells, witchcraft, many others of similarity. They have a belief, or they say that if you follow some prescribed words or some prescribed equation, that you can expect results. We're even given examples in the Bible with such as Baal worship, We saw this with Isaiah when he was on Mount Carmel, when they tried to get Baal to light their pile of wood on fire. They would shout out, they would cut themselves. They were trying to get their God to act, and they felt that if they did the right things, they would force him. He would have no choice but to act. But there was no God to answer them. And we're to flee from such idol worship as what we're practicing those. We are not to treat the one true living God in the same manner either. God will not be manipulated. God will not be commanded or forced to do anything. His will alone will be accomplished according to His purposes. And in case we sometimes forget, God is our Lord, and we are His servants. It's not the other way around. But how should that verse in 1 John be read? We fortunately have John, who likes to return to topics, and so John returns to this topic in our scripture for today, and we see something else that helps us to understand where John is coming from. And if you want to turn with me to John chapter 5, starting with verse 13, 1 John 5:13. And this is why I kind of skipped over that verse, because it's really hard to preach on that without going to this one. And so 1 John 5:13 says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him." Having faith in Jesus results in eternal life. That's something that we see right in that first part. And we all can have a confidence in that as followers of Christ. We also know from other scripture that we are also to pray. Prayer is simply a communication with God. But John points us in a more precise direction when it comes to asking of God for something. The request and answer must be according to His will. So much for my box. This is where God doesn't fit this box. No matter what we do, praying with confidence and living in obedience, if something is outside God's will, we will not get it. That doesn't mean confidence and positive thinking are worthless. We have faith, and we are to fully trust God. Confidence comes from our faith in God. If there's constant negativity, then we must ask ourselves, do we truly trust in the Lord? Obedience is good because we love God. We've gone through 1 John enough to know how many times He's talked about doing good. It's out of our love of God that we do good things. But if our motive in obedience is to get things from God, then we've got a misplaced faith. Our faith is in what we can get from God, not a faith in who God is. And if we think we can ever earn it, then let's remind ourselves of our own works that we will always fall short. God's will for many things have been revealed to us in Scripture, like the need to be in prayer, So even though I throw out the box and I throw out the equation, I keep prayer. I keep spending time with the Lord. I must be careful that when I pray that my motives are right. What am I praying for? Why am I praying for that? And James hits this one in James chapter 4, verse 2 through 3. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. I see two things in these verses. Sometimes we don't see an answer because we never asked. Sometimes we're looking for a prayer to be answered without actually asking the Lord. You really can't call it a prayer, but you're just looking for something to happen without actually asking God. And the other thing is if you don't see an answer, sometimes we do ask for things with wrong motives. It's more to appease our earthly desires and pleasures. But how do we know if we're asking something in the will of God? We know that we are to pray. But if we look at Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it makes it even more difficult for us when it comes to looking at the will of God. This is just here for your thinking, and I'll get into a little more after this. But Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Wow. Part of the struggle with sovereignty of God is this verse. We want to know what we are incapable of knowing. We want answers that are beyond our comprehension. But God created and God created everything out of nothing, and there are aspects of Him that we cannot fathom. But that doesn't mean that we are at a loss, though. Scripture gives us an insight into many things that are in His will. How about this one? "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." When we come to the Lord weary and looking for rest, we know that we will find rest in Him. Yet our prayer and desire should be that God's will be done. Look at Jesus before the crucifixion as He struggles with what is about to happen. In Luke 24, 42 through 44, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to Him and strengthened Him, and being in anguish, He prayed more earnestly. And His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. We're given a description of what Christ looked like when He was praying to the Lord right before He's to be crucified. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This wasn't, "Well, God, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. But I don't want to do it." No, that's not how He was praying. He's in anguish. "Lord, take this cup from me. Take it from me. But not my will be done." The account in Matthew tells us He prayed this prayer three separate times. But whose will should we be praying to be? No, that's not how He was praying. He's in anguish. "Lord, take this cup from me. take it from me. But not my will be done. The account in Matthew tells us he prayed this prayer three separate times. But whose will should we be praying to be done? Not mine to be done. Not mine, not yours, but God's will be done. And there are things found in Scripture where we can have assurance they will be answered, as John clearly states. But it's not everything. If we look at the Lord's Prayer gives us a little more insight into some of the things that we can expect God will answer when we pray for them. Matthew 6:9 is where that starts. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us, praying for our daily bread. But we should also be praying for our daily spiritual nourishment from the bread of life, Jesus Christ. We are told in Scripture that we should pray for forgiveness when we need it. Other Scriptures show us that He will forgive us when we ask. We can pray that we are not led into temptation. But we're also assured that when we are tempted, even by the sinful nature within us, God will give us a way out. We are also assured that when we put our faith in Christ, we are no longer slaves to sin, nor under the authority of the evil one. These are many prayers that we are told that we can be sure of an answer to. And as followers of Christ, we know that when we pray and ask for something, we know that God hears us. That doesn't always mean we get what we want, but we will get an answer to prayer. However, something that we must also understand is that His answer can range from yes to no, and even not yet. When we look at the Apostle Paul, we must definitely throw out the equation method that I was pointing out here. And I'll show that to you in 2 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 7. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And I know I could go into a lot more on this, and we may get caught up trying to figure out what that messenger from Satan was or what that torment was. But for today's message, we see that Paul struggled with something significant, and he prayed three times to have it removed. Now, Paul was a great man of faith. Paul saw in his ministry many miracles through Jesus Christ. Paul was as obedient as they come, being from a Pharisaic line. He knew what obedience was. His request was not out of character, but his request was out of a need. Something that should be brought before the Lord. Yet, the answer was no. Because the struggle Paul dealt with was really a part of God's will. And I have questions deep down why. Though we see Paul is given a reason on why it wasn't taken, that God's grace is sufficient for him, and that he is dealing with this to keep him humble, Yet deep down, I still, why, God, did you let it continue? Deep down, we all struggle with the deeper question of why. When we ask for something, not out of selfishness, and we don't get the answer we're looking for, we all struggle with that. Why must Paul suffer? Why must that be in God's will? And then we come back around to God's sovereignty once again. We know that God answers prayer. We know that when we have a need, we are to bring it before the Lord in prayer. We are to pray for those who are sick. We are just to spend time in prayer. What are we assured of as answers to prayer? We're assured that when we ask for forgiveness, we'll receive it. We're assured that when we put our faith in Him, and we receive His forgiveness, that our names are put in His book of life. We know that when we ask for His presence in our time of trial, that He will walk with us through it. We know that when we ask the Lord to use us as His servants, to do His will, He will use us. There are many requests that we can be assured of. But let us not fall short by failing to ask the Lord to answer a request that we may have. Sometimes we may get to a point where we think that God knows our prayer before we ask it. Yes, but guess what? He still wants us to ask. Let us continue to bring all things before the Lord, trusting that His will, His perfect will be carried out, even if that means an answer to what we ask for is no. Let us trust the Lord in all areas. And that's what faith is putting our trust in Him no matter what's going on. Trusting that He will care for us because we know He loves us.